Happy New Year, everyone. At least that's what I'm keep being told. That's a Happy New Year. Is that Happy New Year?
Yeah.
Well, we're alive, aren't we? Yeah. And we're able to meet here, which is incredible. So praise God for that. That's a huge answer to prayer for a lot of people, isn't it? That we're still able to meet, even when there's, well, mostly everything else is locked down. So praise God for that. I'll just start by praying. Father God, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. Lord, we thank you for another year. Father, 365 days ago, we were in this same building and had no idea what 2020 would hold. And Lord, we're in the same position now. But Father, I thank you that we know that you're in control of everything and that we have nothing to fear. That we can be as bold as lions as we go into every day of our lives, knowing that you're with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, and that you love us eternally. Father, we thank you for this day, and I pray that it would be a blessing to everyone gathered here, everyone listening online, and Father, that you would be with us all, that you challenge us as well, as we look into the things that we'll be studying together today. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder how many services you've sat, perhaps where you are, on a Sunday morning. You know, sometimes I think people sort of sit in the same sort of places, don't they? And when I was a young lad, I used to sit up there in the balcony. I reckon if you look hard enough behind several layers of paint, you'd find my initials. Which is a pretty dumb thing to do, isn't it? Thinking about it. You know, oh, I wonder who put their initials here. JB. Right, yeah. It's pretty obvious as to who did that one, isn't it? I'm sure there's an AB up there as well. not mentioning any names anyway. But we sit through a lot of services. We sit through a lot of sermons. I certainly did as a kid in this very building, Sunday after Sunday, until I was about 19, when I got married and moved away. Well, off the road to Dis, but I was reminded of this verse this past week. It's in Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. And it was a challenge to me, because I knew I was coming here and I was thinking about what I would be teaching, being a new year, and, you know, want to sort of stir you up and encourage you to go forward in this year with the Lord, anticipating a blessing, anticipating a challenge, but also to go with excitement and for the prospect of what the Lord will do this year. But I was reminded of this verse in Luke 12, verse 47 and 48. That servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. And I was thinking about myself out there, younger lad, and thinking, yeah, I received a lot of good teaching, and what did I do with it? You know, do I fit into that? Which category do I find myself in? And in a way, that's what I want to challenge us all with this morning. It's for some of you, perhaps you've not been a Christian for long, I don't know. For others of you, you've been coming to this church or another church for the majority of your life. But I want to challenge that to be the challenge for us all this morning. Those of us who know the will of God and refuse or even neglect to carry it out, we're told here, will be more severely punished than those who have never heard of God's instructions for them. It's a serious warning. It is a serious warning. And as this new year is here, I want to look this morning into how we as a church, and I'll include myself in that, how we as a church here are serving Christ's bride, one another. So let me just pray again. Just so you know, I'm going to have two parts to this morning's sermon. It's difficult, isn't it, when we're not able to sing. So I've picked two songs. So I'm going to do the first part first, and then we'll sing, you know, from our hearts, not from our mouths. But and then I'll preach the second part, and we'll end in a song as well. So that's the plan, just so you know what's coming. Let me pray again. Well, this is a challenge to us all. Lord, we know that we've been here many Sundays, and or we've sat around your word many Sundays, and well, perhaps the moment we've heard it, it is like water off Doug's back. It's just disappeared the moment we've walked out the door, and it's failed to change us, it's failed to challenge us. But Lord, we know that your word is powerful, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we just pray that this morning you would challenge us all, and that you would just penetrate into the deepest, the hardest parts of our lives that we have perhaps held on to and been unwilling to relinquish to you. Father, help us in this. Send your Spirit here this morning to open our hard hearts, to break our hard hearts, and Lord, speak to us in a powerful way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to look at a few passages with you, just to sort of direct our focus this morning as to what we're going to be looking at. Spend the next hour of our time together of worship and praise looking into the subject of loving the fellow of the church. It's something that some of you do incredibly well, perhaps others of you don't do so well. But I don't know that, which is great for me as a visiting pastor, because I genuinely have very little of an idea as to how much each of you do. So if you feel got at this morning, it's got nothing to do with me. Just so you know. But it's a new year, a new beginning. And it's one of those times of year where we reflect on our lives, isn't it? How many of you have thought this past week, oh, 2020 went quick, or wow, what am I doing with my life? Am I happy with where things are going? Do I need to change something? It's a time of year where we do. Everyone reflects on it. The church, outside the church, everyone in the world with New Year's resolutions and trying to change something that they're not happy about themselves. And the truth is, none of us know how long we've got left here, do we? So it's important that we think about those things. But as Christians, it's vitally important that we devote our lives to the Lord Jesus. And we should be brave enough this morning to ask if the way that we've done things in the past needs to change. And that's what repentance is all about. It's about change. It's about saying sorry, about leaving those things behind, and moving on. It's change. And so it's important, isn't it? So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. And during his time on earth, Jesus promised his disciples that he would build his church. Following his resurrection, Jesus commanded his church to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I can't turn the page. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, Jesus promised the first Christians in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's recorded, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's exciting, isn't it? Well, when that promise was given, there was 120 people in a room. Does that not seem a bit daunting? Well, there's not 120 of us here, but if that was Jesus' promise to you right now, think, yeah, you're going to take this gospel news to the ends of the earth, just you. That's a bit daunting, isn't it? Perhaps we're sitting there wondering how on earth this was going to happen, but that is until we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that when they received that power at Pentecost, 3,000 people's lives were changed, and they were added to the church. They then devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Well, 3,000 is a little easier, isn't it? You can start to see how the church, and every day the church was getting bigger and bigger, and it was being blessed and growing. And that's an incredible experience that these people had as this church burst into action. People around them were eyewitnesses to the power of God in their lives to change them. And that's exactly what was going on. They were eyewitnesses to the grace of God. And this church demonstrated the love of God for each other by humbly serving and generously giving and sharing. So do we see that same thing happening today? Do you see the generosity and humility and service and grace being demonstrated during members' meetings? And every day in the lives of the church members here. And I'm not encouraging you to point fingers here. Do you personally, do I, live this way towards each other? The common perception of the church, I'm talking about outside the church now, those people who would want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus, their opinion, perhaps, of us, is very different to the Acts church. I wonder what people outside the church see our purpose as. When they look at this building this morning, do they think, oh, windows are clean? Or, you know, what do they think the purpose of this building is? Or the people that meet here? It's interesting, isn't it? Perhaps a challenging question to ask. Is it just for weddings and funerals? What is it all about? A lot of people see the church as judgmental, hypocritical, homophobic, old-fashioned, out of touch with reality, insensitive to others, or even boring. Remember the, perhaps you don't, but the Mr. Bean sketch where he was sat in church and just really struggling to stay awake? That is, in a way, the image that is portrayed of church, isn't it? You know, a place where normal people struggle to stay awake. But I'm sure that when we get together as a church and discuss our influence on the world, we have a very different view of this. See, I've sat in meetings like this where we've used words like ministry and service and inspiring and sharing Jesus and giving and caring and being a witness and sharing our faith with people, all to the glory of God. Those have been words literally mentioned when we've said, what is our purpose in church? It's how we describe our mission, if you like. And yet, church can so easily become somewhere that we really just focus on our own interests. That we actually become consumers. By that I mean that we end up taking from what the church offers and not giving of ourselves, not giving of our time, our finances, our effort. We don't serve the church in the way that we should. And if Jesus was to ask you today, if he was to ask you right now, what are you doing in service for me and in service for my bride, the church? How would you answer that? What would you say? Would you be ashamed? Would you feel like you were doing enough? If you are serving, are you serving in a way that brings glory to God? Because we can do it. We can serve for hours, days of our lives, and do it with grumbling, can't we? So if you are serving, are you doing it well? You see, what concerns me is that many people outside the church see the church as very unlike Jesus. To them, the church is quite irrelevant, because to them, their spiritual, their personal spiritual walk, if you like, are things that don't need leadership, don't need a building, and don't need programs. So what has happened? Where's the dynamic influence from the Acts Church? Where has it gone? Some of it is bad press, you know, like the sketch done by Mr. Bean. Just portrays this image of church being boring and dull. Well, the church is often the subject of a lot of ridicule, isn't it? It's fascinating to me how comedians get away with ripping the Bible to pieces. You know, I think back to a few years ago with Ricky Gervais, he literally had a tour where he would take a Bible, flip through pages, and take the mick out of what we believe. Basically just putting Christians into a box that described them as unintelligent, old-fashioned, gullible, irrelevant, scientifically outdated, and, well, I could go on. It was quite upsetting to watch. Sometimes the media only reports the scandalous things that go on in the church, don't they? The church is then responsible for those things. While faithful Christians, faithful churches, groups of people who meet to worship the Lord Jesus and serve incredibly well, don't even get mentioned, don't even get portrayed in the media at all. But sadly, some churches have fallen away from the instruction and the example of Jesus that he has set his church. And so that's what I want to look at. Look at Jesus' example as to how he served his church, and then look at one of his disciples, the Apostle John, and see how he served the church. And so those will be my two parts to this morning's sermon. Have we failed to be relevant to an ever-changing world, do you think? I think COVID has had a huge impact on how we do church, hasn't it? If I'd have said a year ago that we'd all be sat here with masks on our face, a few people would have giggled, right? But yet we're all here doing exactly that. And I'm not talking just about what we wear that has changed. The way that we do church has changed. The fact that this is being live streamed onto the internet, that wasn't happening before. There has been some real positives. Not all of them have been good, but there has been some positives to what has happened. And we've had to learn very quickly how to use technology and other means to reach people where we ordinarily now can't meet door to door, or in buildings together apart from here. So we've had to change. Several years ago, I attended a conference where I heard a sermon from a man who said that God would allow more people into heaven than we could ever imagine he would, simply because he is a God of love. Now, those weren't his exact words. I'm paraphrasing because it was quite a few years ago. But that statement was received with a round of applause. And I remember thinking then, I wasn't quite sure about that. Because his point was this: how can a God of love send so many people to hell? But here's the truth, you see, if you don't believe that Jesus died for you, and don't trust him as your saviour, that is exactly where you'll go. God is a God of love. I absolutely know that to be true. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says that God doesn't want anybody to perish. It's not his desire that that would be the case. He loves every single person on this planet enough to send his only son to die for them personally. That's how I know he's a God of love. My point is this: there's a huge difference between churches becoming culturally relevant and churches rejecting the truth of Scripture to become relevant. Do you see my point? Now, I'm not saying for a moment that you guys are in danger of doing that, but it's important that we remain watchful when in this way. To become relevant, we do not negate the words of Scripture. We stick to them absolutely. We become culturally relevant. But to do that, do we no longer rebuke? Do we no longer mention sin, because that's offensive? People don't want to talk about that. Put people off. Should we only ever talk about God's love and repentance and forgiveness and not mention his wrath? Only talk about forgiveness, not condemnation. Only talk of heaven and not hell. See, these are the things that, the questions that people have been facing for a lot of years. And some people, some pastors, some churches have said, yeah, it'd just be easier just not to mention these bad things, give more people along. But the truth is, we must never do that, because to become relevant to the world around us, we do not violate the Bible. We teach exactly what God has written to us in his word, his instructions for our lives. The Bible mentions hell. Jesus mentioned hell more than he did heaven. The Bible mentions sin. The Bible mentions rebuking Christians who have strayed off the narrow path, and we lovingly correct them back. The Bible mentions God's wrath, so we will preach those things with dignity, respect, love, but we don't neglect them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching. All Scripture, right? Not skipping around the hard verses, not avoiding the hard sermons, not avoiding the difficult conversations. Being culturally relevant does not mean the church stops preaching the truths of Scripture. And the answer is simple: we humbly keep to Scripture, teach scripture, where we see Jesus' love, Jesus' life, and by following his example, by being filled with his spirit, we become a culturally relevant church of Christ for the sake of the world and to the glory of God. Thankfully, what a church is can be found in scripture. The book of Acts is the historical account, I know most of you know this, of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it describes the church and as it's supposed to be. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as he had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here we see the church as a community of believers who confess Jesus as Lord. In obedience to the scripture, organizing under qualified leadership, gathering regularly for preaching, teaching, worship. They take part in baptisms and communion. They're unified by the Holy Spirit. And then they scatter to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, we all know the church is imperfect and led by imperfect men. But I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of the church is the only hope for the world. Let me just leave you with a question before we sing a song in our hearts together. What can you do in your life to become